Morning. Welcome to EMP, or community-led EMP. My name is Max, and I'll be sharing primarily on Philippians 2, verses 5 to 8. But before we get into that, let's just pray. Lord Father God, Lord, thank you, Lord, for bringing us here this morning. Thank you for your house, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you give us the energy to come and just abide in you, Lord. So, Father God, bless this time. Father God, help me share your heart. Help me join you in whatever you're doing, Lord. Father God, give us receptive hearts and minds. Bless this time, Father. Thank you. Pray for us in Jesus' name. Amen. So you guys have braved what looks like the continuation of winter. Hope you are keeping warm. What I wanted to share on is really one of the things that, as I said in the recent sermons on building the house, I really actually felt it's one of those rare times. I don't usually get this prompt to share on or do devotionals. You know, CMP is something that we started as a way of serving our staff, in fact, at church. But I got to say, it's not something, you know, as much as I like preparing for it, getting up here, especially now with recorded, it's not my favorite thing to do, and I'm dealing with that. But this time, I really felt God prompting to say, you got to share on this little piece here. And what it was that, you know, when actually several preachers now preached on how you need a strong, you know, the various elements of what is required to build a house, right? And we are going through this series now of, you know, various angles. I really enjoyed last week's sermon on marriages. I think there's a lot there. But before that, we talked about the need for a strong foundation, right? And it's in that sermon that I really got this prompt to share on, well, what else do you need to build a house? In fact, what comes before a strong foundation? And what occurred to me, what I was led to share on, is really the need to actually dig a hole first. So before you begin laying a foundation, you gotta dig a hole, right? So that's really the title of my message. It's gonna be on digging a hole, but let's review the whole kind of metaphor that we've been using, which pertains to the church, it pertains to your own walk with God, just pertains to Christian maturity, as it were. In our metaphor of building a great house, well, we know that in the physical, what do we need? We need, for a great house, we need a great location, first of all, right? We need God to tell us where to build. We need a foundation, we need plan, we need material, we need builders. Today I'm going to talk about foundation, and specifically about the fact that we need a deep pit, and more than just need a deep pit, we actually need to dig it, and we need to dig it with God. I think that metaphor works on many levels, and especially in that this effort of digging a hole actually precedes the process of laying the foundation. And that really spoke to me, bringing to mind so many times in my reasonably young Christian life that I would attempt to run ahead of God, right? And find myself sometimes discouraged, sometimes disappointed, often kind of losing the point of or losing connection with God at that time. And one of the patterns that I've detected was that, yeah, it was out of this place of trying to impress God in some ways that I was actually running ahead of Him. And what I thought was a childlike desire to impress my father, which there's some of that too, the key point was that I was trying to impress Him, right? Not trying to have a relationship with Him. So digging a hole, or digging that space to lay the foundation first, really spoke to me. Well, I'm sure most of us probably know, we're probably familiar with this metaphor. It, the idea of emptying yourself or hollowing out is a reasonably well-established Christian metaphor. Probably best expressed in Philippians 2:5-8. So let's read that, and we'll kind of get into that. I think I've got the NASB version. So Philippians 2:5-8. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of man, being found in appearance of a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. So the key word there in verse 7 is he emptied himself. And as I studied it, it kind of reminded me that one of the things that bothered me about some of the sermons I've heard over time, right, is how much we sometimes focus on emptying ourselves, and how that sometimes starts to sound a bit like some of the New Age self-help stuff, right? You know, you got to help, you got to empty yourself, you got to go. In fact, even maybe Buddhist. I mean, I'm not that familiar with it, but I know I've heard it in popular culture, right? The idea of emptying and this idea of attaining some higher level of operating, clarity by denying yourself, by emptying yourself. And while there are certainly concepts of that are applicable here, I think one of the first things that kind of started to occur to me as I was studying this is that this is the emptying itself is not the point, right? In fact, emptying as the process is certainly not something that is all that present in the Bible, right? In fact, searching further, this concept of emptying was really only referred to a couple of times in the Bible. So what I found was that, in fact, even though we kind of zero in on this, the key thing to understand is that this emptying or hollowing out process was really part of a broader process, which was to become obedient to God. So I'll talk a bit more on that. But as I dwelled on that, another point occurred to me, which is that, you know, this idea of emptying, this idea of preparing and then laying things down, is a very active exercise. It's not kind of meditation or sort of a quietly going to a place and, you know, thinking about and denying yourself and clearing your mind, all those kind of things. That's not what God wants from us, right? I believe this is a very much an active active pursuit. This is something that we have to be intentional about. It takes place in a number of ways. It can take shape of emptying your schedule to make time for quiet time. It takes place of laying down your sleep, like you guys have done to come here for the EMP, right? It takes place of laying down other legitimate, normal things to pursue God's purposes, right? And those things are active. As we read in the verses in the Philippians, we see that Jesus, immediately after saying that Jesus emptied himself, it talks about very hard things that he then went ahead and did, right? He took the form of a bondservant. He basically became human. He denied the kind of the physical privileges of being God, and instead humbled himself and became obedient. So, you know, it's one of those times when you look at the verse and all of a sudden the key verbs start jumping out at you, right? And what jumped out at me was that he emptied. He actually took, he became, he took that intentional step of becoming human. all to humble himself and become obedient, right? And that gives a really good template, I think, for us, what that means. So going back on point, first point for me is that digging is actually hard work, right? And it takes place in a number of ways. Besides the, like what I talked about, legitimate things, digging sometimes requires that we dig out some things from ourselves, right? Dig out our pride, dig out things that we really need to sometimes confront and face. And this is hard work. It is beyond just stopping yourself from quieting yourself and sort of introspecting on who you are. Now, this actually is intentional. It's going to be sometimes uncomfortable. It's going to take perseverance, right? It's going to take digging through some hard ground. Some of you know I actually grew up in quite rural places, and so basically we grew up on a kind of a farm or a small holding, and digging and building was quite a normal part of life. And I especially remembered a particular point where there was an earthquake, after which my family got relocated to a whole new area where government decided to give us land to build houses on. And it was done all very, in a very rushed manner, because it was masses of people being relocated. You basically got a plot, right? Sort of, you got a boundary, and you were told, okay, you got to make. The government came around with a truck. They dumped a whole bunch of material on that plot and said, figure out how to make a house out of this, right? And they actually gave us sort of like architects, consultants that would come by and say, okay, you need to do this. I mean, I was a little kid, so I was. For me, it was just a lot of fun, right? It was like it was just like Lego blocks everywhere, and no school, so it was great. But then people started digging, and you could see the plots were reasonably small, and so you could see all the neighbors and everyone trying to figure out how to do it, and renting the machinery and bribing people to be first to get the machinery to dig some hole and so forth. So I kind of I remember this as I was preparing, how as we started digging, one of the things that happened was you inevitably hit some hard ground. Sometimes you hit massive boulders underneath, right? So as you start digging for the foundation, you mark out the boundary, and the architect consultant told you that you need to go 3 meters here, you need to go pretty deep, actually. I was surprised how deep the foundation had to be at that time. And then the excavator comes, and they start hitting the ground, they start digging into the ground, right? And inevitably, almost all of us at some point hit some big rocks. This was a pretty rocky mountainous area. And when you hit that rock, basically the normal excavator will attempt to break through that rock a few times, and then they will give up and say, well, we can't do it. So because these guys, they basically... they work per hour, they'll try, and they kind of fail, and they drive off to somebody else. And many neighbors were left with these basically unfinished holes, right? Some people decided, there were all kinds of attempts to break. We were actually reasonably fortunate in that our rocks were smaller, in that we basically took the shovels and we worked around them until we could pick up these, roughly probably 300-400 kilogram stones and move them aside. But they were actually quite small comparatively. Other people's stones were much, much bigger, right? So they couldn't really do the same thing. Some people, I've even heard, I didn't see myself, but I've even heard of people trying to put explosives to break down the rocks, right? I've heard explosives going off here when the MTR was building the tunnel to go over to the south side. It was pretty scary. Well, similar thing, obviously on a smaller scale. They were trying to break through the stones. And some people decided, well, it was deep enough, they would probably get down as far as maybe 2 meters instead of, 3 or 4 that was required. And they would say, that's good enough. We'll just work around it, right? And I remember how a few years later, and then, they would basically work around those stones, still put the foundation down, way they could, right? Kind of ignoring the fact that in some places it was quite shallow. And I remember one house in particular that was kind of on the edge of the village boundary. It was built, it was fine. I mean, you know, it didn't look like there was anything wrong with it, frankly. And some years later, there was a particularly bad spring rains, and that house started sagging on one side. It just started to, you know, and I don't know if you realize this, but the houses, even as much as a couple of inches of sagging on one side, basically destroys the house, right? Because it starts to, houses are actually quite fragile, you know, especially, we're talking about quality that we used to build there. There's some metal linkages between the walls, but as soon as there's a couple of inches of give, it cracks, and that's basically it, right? You can't, it's not going to stay up. It's literally like a house of cards that's just held together by some gravity. And true enough, cracks started to appear, and within that spring, they had to take the house down because it broke down. And I remember that was one of the houses that had this quite a large stone underneath that they decided not to break down, but build around it. And, you know, I don't know exactly what the professional opinion was, but from what we heard was that as the water during the spring rains came in, it accumulated in that stone that they didn't break down, right, and flowed around it and eventually made the foundation, made the walls of the foundation crack and gave way. So I thought it was quite, it's definitely true, right? You're gonna hit some hard ground in your digging of that pit for the foundation. It can take place in all kinds of ways in our walk, right? It can take place of, it's hard to lay down certain things. You know, certain things are very legitimate, right? And that kind of perseverance, right? For every person who kind of ignored that kind of large stone, I know that most of the villagers understood the need to build the right foundation. And I know people worked very hard to, you know, move stones and broke stones, and like I said, I heard about exploding stones, to continue to build it. And I think for us, that's kind of my takeaway, is that you got to persevere. It's going to get hard sometimes. It's going to be difficult to lay certain things down. It's going to be difficult to face certain things, right? We all have hurts from the past that sometimes we kind of choose to ignore. But they will prevent us from laying that foundation. What the effect could be, then, you could run after a certain ministry. You could throw yourself into work. It could feel like you're really serving God. But if you're on shallow foundation, it means that when the time comes, and the time will come, right, when you will be challenged, when you will experience an attack. If your foundation, if in the digging of that hole, you ignored some things that you didn't deal with, they'll come back, right? And there will be that space where the enemy can come in and undermine you. So what do we do? Well, how do we, how do we get that perseverance? And that really kind of brings me to my second point, which is perhaps my favorite of the 3 points, which is that you've got to, this digging with God, this digging, the foundation has to be with God, right? This is not a performance piece. This is something that we have to undertake with God the whole time. It's not a thing where we can say, well, okay, I really want to do that ministry, I want to be involved. Now I realize I'm not ready, so I've got to, empty myself or whatever it is. I gotta dig that hole. Even though I know that's the title of my message, but I think I learned even as part of this. God really spoke to me and said that you don't gotta do anything, right? You just be with me, walk with me. I'll give you the perseverance. I'll give you the guidance. I'll tell you whether to explode that stone or whether to work around it or whether to go and dig somewhere else. Frankly, right? You need to do this with God. We need to do this with God. Otherwise, it becomes about performance. Otherwise, it becomes about impressing. Otherwise, it becomes potentially just a self-seeking thing, right? Which isn't the point. I already mentioned, right, that like one of the things that I particularly personally struggle with is this desire to just impress God, right? In school, I was quite a good student. I was I had high marks from, you know, from early age, and it's great. I mean, I think you kids should have high marks, and it's really, you know, high achievers is a good thing. But there's definitely something that sets in at that point as well, and that's that culture, that need to constantly perform and constantly impress, right? And I know from a very young age, right? It's I think in the, you know, the first 5 or 6 grades, I didn't have a single B, right? And so by the time, you know, 6th or 7th grade came, the pressure to make sure you have that clean slate as your all A's was just so massive, right? That that it really you no longer remember or you no longer enjoy the subjects. It just all becomes about that scorekeeping, right? And I think in a way this is what affects me to this day, and it's something that I actively have to lay down, right? You know, what I was sharing in the beginning. I don't look forward to speaking at CMP, even though public speaking for me is not really such a major deal. I'm generally not concerned about speaking in public. I do a lot of town halls at work and things like that, so that's not really an issue. Yet, whenever I've come, and there's been several times where I had to speak in front of the church, I've always gotten quite nervous and tongue-tied and whatnot, right? And a big part of it is because I realize it's because it's about performance, right? It's about, you know, how are people going to judge me, how, you know, and knowing that, unlike in my work where I've had years of training, I've not had any training here. You know, I would judge my performance, therefore, to be, you know, probably bad and poor, and therefore I would worry about my self-image when I get up here. So, again, you know, this is just mine, right? Impressing God, impressing the church, impressing my pastor, right? It's something that I have to actively work with. And I know that the only way I can do something about it, the only way I can start winning here is with God. And it's, you know, I think it takes, practically it just means really simple things. It's recognizing, trusting God that even in the midst of that, he's there, and he's constantly there. He's in every moment. He's not in some place where you have to be. This is kind of a major revelation from Old Testament to New Testament, right? Is that we come to God as we are, right? Not, you know, in the Old Testament, right, Levites had to be perfect and, you know, had to be as sinless as they could be before God. Now we can just come to Jesus. You know, he's here for us for that, right? Because we are flawed, and we can just come to him as we are and bring the innermost, the things that hold us back, and just be vulnerable and free, knowing that he will deliver us. So digging with God and not for God is the second point. And the third, again, sort of referenced in the beginning, but again, really spoke to me that it's really important that we dig to be filled, not to be empty. What I mean by that is, I sometimes, as I said, sometimes we focus so much on the method. Again, I'm prone to that, and I know I've heard others talk about the method of kind of growth, that you can take this idea of becoming empty as a method, as yet another method to get better at this, right? Yet, and kind of miss the point in I think in the process, right? I think as I was saying in the Philippians 2:5-8, if you just stop at the beginning of verse 7 and say, "But emptied himself," you know, it would really sound as if Jesus was exercising in some self-improvement discipline, right? But you've got to take the whole thing. Do you find that sometimes, I sometimes find that putting the numbers, the verse numbers, in the middle of the text, I think is a, which is, by the way, a reasonably recent invention, right? If you take the numbers out and if you just read it as one text, it kind of makes more sense, you know? You don't have these kind of stops. In fact, more than that, some of the Bibles, many of the Bibles, my own as well, right, have the headings. And sometimes even these headings, they break the meaning, right? Sometimes it's good to, I've often found that it's sometimes good to just go to pure text, Right? Just go to pure text and read the pure text without the headings, without the chapters, without the verses, and read it and understand it as a holistic kind of a message, right? And that's what helped me in this case, is just taking out the numbers, it reads much more coherently and reads as one statement that the emptying was not the point. Emptying was there, and frankly, a small point in that it was a necessary but small point. The bigger point was the obedience. The bigger point was the humbling, right? Emptying of himself was necessary to do the things such as being obedient and humble. But in it in itself, it doesn't really carry any value. So another, since we're going with this metaphor of digging a hole on the foundation, another interesting truth about foundations is that once they're dug, they have to be filled quite quickly. Especially in Hong Kong, you can see that, right? If you've seen buildings being built, you know they have to work so hard. Like when Pastor Eric was sharing on building on the rock, I'm like, well, Hong Kong is just built on one big rock, basically. we live in just off Stubbs Road, above between Shui Fai Terrace and Stubbs Road. And they're building a massive complex there. And, you know, I feel bad for those guys because they're digging into that. And the only sound is the sound of sledgehammers beating into that rock, right? That house is going to be built on a rock, no question. And it's going to be a pretty big house. The amount of digging they have to do is just, you know, just incredible. But even if it's built on a solid rock, if you don't fill the foundation quickly, right, which is, by the way, a sight to see. When you see these large foundations being built, you know, you're talking about 300-400 cement trucks lining up, and they have to do it very quickly, right? Because if they don't do it very quickly, the foundation starts eroding, right? The the walls of the foundation will start crumbling, the water gets in, all kinds of problems happen. And I think the same goes for us, right? When we do dig that pit, when we do dig that hole and make that space for the foundation, I'll give you an example in during the fast, right? You know, that's what happens during the fast. We actually dig a hole, right? It's nice because we've got such an immediate and fast kind of a recipe to achieving that feeling of closeness with God, because we do dig a hole. We certainly make space for God. You know, quiet time. You know, you guys know how busy EMP gets. Right, we do that, and if we just stop there, and oftentimes we do, right? Every year we do this, we dig a hole, but I think, myself included, we fail to then fill it with the foundation. During the fast, you hear so many people, myself included, we make these promises, right, to God, to ourselves, right, that this time, right, it's gonna be different. I'm gonna start this ministry. I'm gonna change. I'm gonna take up a Bible study. I'm going to all those kind of things, all the good things, and things that, you know, I think ultimately come from a good place. Even though sometimes they get mired in desire to impress yourself or God and whoever, ultimately they come from a good place. We are led to be closer to God, and during that fast, we run after Him. We do these things, you know. Then January 23rd comes, we have the we fill some of the void with some of the food, you know, and within a week the EMP attendance drops to its normal levels, let's call it. and I think same happens with all these great plans and intentions, right? We've dug a hole, we've experienced that closeness, but then we've left it, right? Life happens, business happens, whatever, all those kind of things. And the foundation the pit, the walls of the foundation hole just start, you know, crumbling a bit. And if you leave, like, you know, again, in the physical, if you leave a foundation, no matter how deep it is, give it a little bit of time. And in Hong Kong, you don't have to give it that much time, given it rains so much, right? And it will for sure start looking, it'll go from looking like a, you know, crater to looking like a little bit of an indent, and pretty soon it will just look like nothing. And you'll hardly even remember that there used to be a pit that you dug out. So, foundation, you know, the foundation pit that you've dug that we dig, make sure we fill it as well. And as I said, it most often applies to these moments of extreme digging, like during the fast. But it applies in other situations as well. So, you know, we could empty ourselves of time. I mean, I've done it myself, right? We make a hole in our schedule. We make that time to devote to God. And if you're not careful, that time gets filled with something else, right? I've done it before. I'm like, yes, quiet time. I'm going to make that time. And how often, especially, you know, those that work in the offices, you know, you make that time. You think, okay, I'm going to close the door to my office and I'm going to do quiet time. And next time you look at the clock, you've like spent 45 minutes of your 1 hour, and actually all you've done was catch up on personal emails instead of work emails. So it's like, wait, what did you fill your time with, you know? Simple example, I guess. But the verse kind of struck me as I was preparing for this, was the that ultimately the other angle to this is that to God, the process of emptying it itself isn't really interesting, right? The sacrifice of our time, of, you know, of even the hobbies that we lay down, that in itself, I don't believe it's interesting to God. In Psalm 51:16, it says, "For you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You're not pleased with burnt offering." I mean, carries on to talk about what God's really interested in. And he's really interested in relationship, right? He's not interested in your ability to lay yourself down, your ability to empty yourself, your ability to, you know, dig a hole, right, for foundation. But it's the relationship with him. It's what you do with that. It's how you then lay foundation and grow from there. So those are really the three simple points this morning. So let's pray. Let's really ask God to let's ask Holy Spirit to just lead us into this place. Let's ask Lord to reveal to us, you know, what are the areas in which you may have gone stale, may have gone lukewarm, maybe you've grown somewhat agitated that you're not making the progress that you wish you were in a certain area of ministry or just your quiet time, whatever it is. Ask Holy Spirit, or if you like, Holy Spirit wants to take you back to that time when you were on fire, right? Take you back to that time when you were achieving the breakthroughs, right? When you dug that deep hole and you got filled. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to take us back to that time just so we can reconnect, just so we can reestablish, refamiliarize and come to face-to-face with that spiritual marker. And ask Holy Spirit to take you somewhere where He wants, where Jesus wants you to dig next. Where is the next time, next place to lay the foundation to, and so that you can prepare, so that you can start emptying yourself to be filled. Do you need to go deeper where you are? Do you need to dig deeper? Is your ministry, or is your quiet time, is your relationship, is it on sort of a little bit of loose ground, or is it maybe a little skew? Do you need to go in and dig deeper? You know, sometimes this can be just confronting some of the convictions, emotions, or just habits sometimes, right? Really coming face to face to them and choosing what to do with that stone that's in a way. Do you just leave it in place? Have you left it in place and just let it be there, let it hinder you? Or is it time to confront it? Is it time to ask God to come alongside you, to help you? Help you know what to do next? Because I think, you know, Jesus just wants to be there with us in every moment. He's not interested in kind of checkpointing with us from time to time, checking in on how we're doing and checking on progress. He's not interested in us running ahead of him, bringing back reports of how great we've done, kind of impressing him. I really believe Jesus wants to be there the whole time. He wants to be there when we choose where to dig. He wants to be there when we're digging, When we hit those stones, when our foundation gets flooded, He wants to be there. He wants to be there when we start laying the foundation and when we start building. He wants to walk with us the whole time. So ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you in this time, however is pertinent to you. And just submit and surrender to Him. He just wants the best things for us. Lord, that you love us so, that you just want to have that relationship with us. That you want to thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that you've shared your heart, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us live it out. Help us abide in you, Lord. Help us walk with you. And help us, Lord, know that you are ever present in every situation, even when digging gets hard. When it's difficult to face things, when it's difficult to lay things down, whether sin, habit, or any kind of other thing gets in the way, help us know, Lord, that that you're always there, that you want to walk with us, that you want to dig with us, you want to succeed with us in all manner of ways. Thank you, Lord, Father God. All right, let's go to our Saturday prayers. All right. Saturday is our mission focus on North Korea, so let's really lift up that country, especially Chris and the community of businessmen that are out there. Also, let's pray for South Korea. This week we saw some further tensions. I know we've kind of grown to ignore them a little bit with the North Korean leader threatening all sorts of things, but let's just pray peace into that country. Let's pray God's covering over it. Let's really lift it up. Actually, I just want to also lift up people in SP who have a heart for Korea. You know, last time we've gone on a trip to meet with people there was some time ago, actually. And, you know, Tim and I was been speaking last week. We really need to see if, you know, there's a group of people that want to, that have a calling, not want to, but have a calling for Korea. Help them come forward and, maybe dig a bit of a hole and then fill with the foundation of caring for the country, praying for it, maybe going on a trip to support people and so forth. So Let's just lift that up. Thank you, Jesus. Right, let's lift up our SP 2.0. This is in reference to the building which has been prophesied to be gifted to SP. So larger sanctuary, larger building than what we have now. Bissam shared on that during a town hall. If you were there, you know we really believe that. And it kind of fits with our building the house, right? As we're building the church, let's really pray into that prophecy. And we believe God's gift, God's plan for us in that building will come true. So let's just pray that reality into us. Let's lift up weekend activities here at SP. We've got EMP Bible study, one or two of them going on, GIC, EG, Alpha, Bible financial studies, prison outreach happening today, homeless outreach, drug rehab, Sunday services obviously, Noah's Ark, worship, hospitality, SP Youth, Yahweh, SP Indonesia services, all activities, all the meetings that are taking place. Let's just pray blessing and covering, pray protection for all those who are participating, pray for anointing for the leaders, and may all these things be done in Jesus' name, be done in presence of the Lord for His purposes and His intents. Let's lift that up. And let's lift up house churches that are meeting today. Davu, Discovery Bay, Mawon, McDaddy, Robinson Bay, and Westside. Let's pray for just encounters with you, Lord. Let's pray for conversations to be filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Pray for further revelation of God's truth in the Koinonia as people meet. Let's just pray for covering protection of everyone who is there, for the dwellings, for all the logistics, transport, and so forth. Let's just lift up our house churches. As we are in a period of Lent, we'll also pray for the churches here in Hong Kong as part of the Lent devotional. So let's lift up the Union Church. Let's pray for the redevelopment plans for 22A Kennedy Road, for wisdom and discernment for its leadership, Pastor Greg, Michelle, and Matthew, as they faithfully preach God's Word, and for the church's pioneering work with Alpha for the past 20 years. I pray as they rejoice for the diverse nature of the Four Sunday congregation, and pray for continued unity and vision as the church approaches this exciting but challenging new season. Yes, let's lift up Union Church. Let's pray for all those things and pray for God's promises, for God's blessings on that church, all of that to be realized still. Jesus, God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's also lift up Mu Min Cumberland Presbyterian Church. Let's really lift them up and pray for the preparation of the church planting team, and pray for more brothers and sisters to participate in intercession for the church planting. So lift them up. Let's lift them up for that exciting time in their life, Lord. And let's, Lord, just bless them, the great team to plant the church, and just for more involvement from the congregation. Let's really lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ. So thank you, Lord Father. Thank you that you've brought us here, Lord. Thank you that you've spent this time with us, Lord. I pray, Lord, for all of us to just know you are with us in every moment as we go from here, Father. Let your seeds of your word, seeds of your revelation, Lord, take deep root in us, Lord. I pray for transformation of the mind and heart, Lord. And I bless the spirits of all the people here, Lord. Bless your spirits to be prominent and to lead your souls and your bodies to receive everything that the Lord has for you. Pray for all this in Jesus' name. Thanks, guys. I hope that you have a great day. Continue to pray if you're staying. Be blessed and have a great weekend. Thanks.